Welcome to the Unravel Podcast. My name is Alina.
And my name is Nina.
And today I thought it would be cool to discuss just some real estate myths.
I'm
I
ready.
know as first-time home buyers and just as new sellers that are selling their home for the first time, there can be a lot of myths that exist that people don't realize their true answers to them. So I figured we could debunk a few of those.
Sure.
Yeah.
Okay. One of my favorite myths that I wish just disappeared
Okay.
was when a seller tells me about pricing their home. We want to start high so that we can come down. No. The reason why that's no is unless your house is just in peak condition, prime location, and it's a hot roaring market, if you start high, no one's going to buy the house at that price. They're going to be waiting until you reduce the price. Or they're just gonna wait and wait and wait and then offer you a lower price. So you're actually doing your home a disservice because you're gonna have fewer people come to look at the house because fewer people can qualify in a price point that's more than what the house is worth. And the result of that is that you're gonna end up getting a lower offer that might be even lower than if you started a bit lower. So that's myth number one.
And also, most buyers are coming with an agent. Most agents should know the market well enough to know when a home is overpriced and would immediately tell their buyer, like, hey, this home is overpriced. I also have seen, and I truly believe that you're better off pricing your home at market value or even slightly under market value
Correct.
because you have a better chance of getting a higher price. And it's funny you mentioned this because I'm about to list a house in a few months that's gonna be a flip for a client. And I just was randomly thinking about this on the road today. I was thinking about the fact that some sellers do say, I wanna list my home higher, but realistically, you have a better chance of getting the higher price that you want by pricing it at market value because you'll have more people that wanna purchase it at that price because it's a steal. And then you end up getting into bidding war.
Yeah. What's another real estate myth?
You don't need an agent. And here's the thing, really, you don't have to have a real estate agent. It's not required, whether you're buying or selling your home. But let's talk about needing a real estate agent for buying your home.
You also don't need a car.
That's true. That's true.
I mean, you could walk
That's true.
if
That's true.
you want to.
But I think the reality is if you want representation, if you want someone to go to bat for, as a buyer, let's talk about a buyer. If you want representation, you want someone to go to bat for you, you want someone to help you find that perfect home, you need a real estate agent, especially as a first-time home buyer. There's so many like nuances to buying a home that you may not understand and you may not be able to navigate on your own, that it's important to have a real estate agent help you navigate those things and also be able to negotiate things for you as well. Sellers, I feel like sellers and other agents are more receptive to negotiate to dealing with a buyer when you have another agent. Especially as a buyer, if you're purchasing a home and there's another agent on the other side of the deal, like representing the seller, for example, you are still paying a commission to that agent for your share, for your portion. The agent may not be representing you, but they're still having to do a lot of paperwork and other things on your behalf. So realistically, if you're paying for the other agent, why don't you just hire a buyer agent for representation? That just makes the most sense.
Yeah, I agree.
And truly, like some people say, like this is the myth. People say you don't need an agent. What's the point of having an agent? We have no value. We just open doors. But realistically, the thing is we have a lot more value than that. Yes, we open doors, but we do more than that. We educate you to be able to make a really good offer, to be able to pay attention to things that you probably wouldn't see in a home that we see because we're in the industry more. And we're looking at homes all the time. We're here to advise you. We're here to guide you on this process. And if you're not going to utilize those things that we're here for, then yeah, you probably don't need an agent.
You know, it's another one that you don't need to get a home inspection. You really do need to get a home. I mean, okay, free will,
Right, and we keep saying
free
need and
market.
want, but you're right. You don't have to do any of these things, of course, but this is us just giving our opinion on what we think is common for people to say that you don't need or have to have. And like Nina said, you don't have to, but realistically it makes sense to do these things, which we'll go into as to why.
Well, I mean, before I was licensed, I purchased real estate and I was told on one that you don't need to get a home inspection. you need to get a home inspection because you don't know if you're buying a house that's going to cost you $50,000 in repair, or the house is about to crumble to the floor, or if it's move-in ready with just, you know, a light bulb that needs to be changed. So does it cost money? Yeah, you know, average is like $300 to $600 depending on the size of the house, so on and so forth. But it is the best investment you can make in the home as you're purchasing it. Anyway.
Thank you. I personally didn't get a home inspection on my home when I bought my home, which I've talked about this before, just because I've bought and flipped property before. My brother did home inspections, so I just had him come and look at it with me. We checked a couple things out, and I've been in this home for 2 years, and I haven't had shit happen, so we're good.
Yeah.
Thankfully, I don't want to jinx
myself. So if you're an experienced real estate agent,
that's different.
You can then decide based on the knowledge that you have. But until then, get a home inspection.
But I say all of that because as a buyer, we did I didn't get a formal home inspection, to say the least, but I did one. I did my own due diligence. I did some form of due diligence, is what I'm trying to say. And I think as a buyer, it's important to be, especially as a first time home buyer, you don't want to go into a home that looks like it has a facelift, like it's got all the right, it's got all the right features. It's real nice and pretty, but the HVAC is 30 years old, which is 15 years past its life expectancy. And the roof has, you know, a water leak in it. Then you move into a home that's quite honestly a shit show, and you're having to fix a bunch of stuff before you can really just get to live in your home and enjoy it. I think at the end of the day, we all would prefer a move-in ready home. But you cannot determine if it's move-in ready truly, and you're not going to have to do a bunch of stuff to it until you've gotten down to the nitty gritty and you've looked at the and you've, you know, had a home inspection done to check for all of those things. I think it's, I think spending $300 to $600 on a home inspection is a lot cheaper than spending $7,000 to $10,000 on a new HVAC because didn't know what to look for.
And then if the whole system needs to be replaced, that's more like $12,000 to $16,000. Another myth. That you need 20% down to buy a house.
So when I actually started in real estate, I started in Hartwell and Franklin County, and those are both considered rural markets, which means that they qualify for USDA financing, 0% down. There's other programs as well, but USDA would be the most popular financing type for no down payment. And I think it's phenomenal that that is offered by our country to allow home ownership to exist for people who maybe don't have all the liquid cash to be able to purchase a home, but can still afford a home, just doesn't have to, just not having the cash to do it. And I think it's important to you to, another reason why it's important to have a real estate agent, because a real estate agent would know some of these things to be able to better assist you with whatever your home ownership goals are. And you don't have to, you do not have to have 20% down. You can have as little as 0% down. Now that does not mean you do not need money to get to closing, because you need money for the appraisal, you need money for
earnest money,
your earnest money, and you need money for your
inspection.
So you still need cash. It's just not having to bring a down payment to closing, and most down payments are going to be anywhere between 3% to 20% on average. So you're getting the opportunity to save on that down payment and just having to bring a little bit to cover your upfront cost of getting to closing.
And this is another myth that I think is pertinent for right now, but it just depends on what the market is. The myth that you have to wait for the rates to come down to buy a house.
This is true.
The reason for that.
Dang, you got these good myths. That's such a true one.
I hear them all day long, I'm telling you. So this one specifically, okay, I understand that if somebody has a low interest rate currently, it's painful to move from a lower one to a higher one.
Absolutely.
Or if you're a first-time home buyer, the rates seem high, but there's so much opportunity someone's missing by waiting for the rates to come down. I had a client I was working with a few years ago when the rates were very low, and they just waited and waited and waited for the rates to come up. Well, all the rates did were go up. And they ended up buying a house at, I think it was almost a 5%. We started looking at a 2%. So had they bought right then, they would have had a 2.5. But now, I mean, 5 is still excellent. So, you know, right now the rates are higher, but sellers are giving concessions. They're buying down your rate. They're giving you closing costs. And when the rates do come down, what do you think is going to happen to the price?
They're going to go up.
Prices are going to go up.
That's exactly what happened during COVID. You're right. And the funny thing is, when people say, like, I'm going to wait for the rates to go down, it reminds me of a crystal ball. You're banking you're banking your future on the fact that you're hoping for the rates to go down. They have consistently went up for years, unless there's some crazy pandemic that happens, like we just went through, which is so rare. Mm-hmm. So you're going to bank your future of home ownership on the hopes that the rate's going to go down. So when you could buy at what they are now and then lock that in, and then if the rates go down, you can refinance.
Yeah.
So I hear this saying all the time, buy the house, date the rate, because the rates will change. You're going to want to refinance. Even if you bought with a significantly high rate, I bought my house at 6.6%, I think, or something like that. Mm-hmm. But I know at the end of the day, like, I bought the house that I wanted. I would have lost the opportunity to buy this house that I wanted if I had been like, oh, I'm going to wait for the rates to go down. But I secured the house, and then I know when the rates go down, I'll refinance it. The rates aren't going to determine my ability to be able to be a homeowner.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. It's so true.
Yeah. And I hear that all the time. And it's interesting because I've been in this industry for almost 9 years now. And I started back when the rates were like 3%, 3.25%. Mm-hmm. And I remember hearing buyers all the time say, the rates are too high. I don't want to buy right now. I'm going to wait for them to go down. Then they go up. Then they go up. And then COVID happened. Then they went down. I never heard anybody say the rates were too high during COVID. But it's funny, now that we're at 6%, which is double what they were at before COVID, people are like, oh, the rates are too high. No shit, they're too high right now. No shit, they're high right now. But also, they're only going to be going higher. They may like go down a little bit, go back up, but not enough. They're not going back to 3% anytime soon. They're not going down to 2% anytime soon.
Yeah.
So I'm like, you need to seize the opportunity while it exists, no matter what it's at. Make sure you're purchasing a home that you can afford at the current rate, because obviously that's going to affect your mortgage payment. Like, it needs to be affordable for you, but date the rate. You're not married to that rate. You're married to the house.
Mm-hmm. And speaking of that, it reminds me of another myth that buying a big fancy house is always the best investment.
Mm.
Buying something that you deem to be more valuable, that doesn't mean it's a better investment. You have to look from the consumer's perspective. The location, the condition. Always purchase a house thinking about when you have to sell it.
Mm. That's true.
Always. Because you make money on the purchase, not the sale. Single time. So people might think, oh, if I get a 5,000 square foot house, 2 stories, blah. Well, will you be able to sell it for what you're buying it for? Or are you going to be over your head?
Mm-hmm. Also, pay attention to the modifications you make to that house.
Oh, my goodness.
Because that's going to have an effect on
the resale as well. Please don't put some bling tile in the bathroom, some cheetah carpet in the bathroom. Yes, no, yes. Don't do that. And then expect to call me and say, look at all the improvements I made. I want to sell it for $200,000 more than I bought it for 1 year ago. No, ma'am.
I had a lady that wanted me to come and list her house. So I went on this listing appointment, whatever. And I got to the house, and she had told me that she had repainted it and she had done all these renovation projects. So I'm like, oh my goodness, this is about to look like an amazing house. So I get there and she painted the entire interior of the house a dark, like teal, weird kind of blue. Mm. And which is one of the most hardest colors to cover up, because most people want a neutral color. Mm-hmm. And
you're gonna need like 3 to 4 coats of paint to cover that. Yeah.
And she was thinking that this would be a, you know, phenomenal return on her investment for having it painted this home. And I had to break it to her and I tell her, like, hey, this isn't a very common or
it's not a very trendy color yet
to paint your home. Anyone that buys this home is going to come in and repaint it. Nobody's going to keep this color. Nobody is going to keep this color.
Did she paint it herself or did she hire it out?
She did not listen with me because she didn't get the price. I told her what I thought it would sell for, and she was not happy with that number based on these improvements. That was just one of the improvements. Based on the other improvements that she made, that she thought it could sell for more. And I was like, you know what? Okay, I respect that. I don't want to take a listing that's this significantly overpriced. So
yeah,
I wish you the best.
Crazy. What are some other myths I hear people say all the time? Do you hear myths? What else do people tell you? Working with a buyer's agent's free.
Oh yeah, that's a good one. That's a really good one.
I'm so tired of hearing that nonsense.
Especially, I feel like we're not probably going to hear it as much anymore given the whole new changes of things.
Yeah.
But,
where is anything free?
You know,
free?
It's actually interesting. The agents are usually the ones that say that, not the buyers.
Well, they can leave. No, they can stay. But it's like, practically speaking, If you go buy a cup of coffee from a coffee shop, if you go out to eat, if you need a new tire for your vehicle, if you want to go get your hair done, are any of these things free?
This is true.
Nothing is free. If something's free, you better start asking questions. I'm just saying.
You're right.
So, yeah, hopefully that's going to fade away because it's just not reality.
I agree. So another myth I thought about is new construction homes are perfect and you don't need a home inspection. I know we did a whole podcast episode about that, but since we're doing myths, I feel like it'd be another good one to incorporate that, you know, people believe that new construction homes are perfect because they're new, but the reality is that you do need a home inspection on them and that just because they're new doesn't mean they're perfect. There's just newer items in there and you would think that they would be functioning properly and all things would be running smooth because they are new and that the home should be perfect, but that doesn't exist. And people commonly believe that because of that, they should not have any issues with at home. But the reality is because it's new, you're going to be the first one experiencing all those new qualities with the house.
Yeah. And, you know, depending on who you hire as your builder or which subdivision you go to, whoever's building that really also will change the condition of the home. But then also a good builder will not mind that you're getting an inspection.
Correct.
In fact, I was talking with one the other day, they're thinking, do we want to go ahead and offer that as a part of the house? You know, get it inspected by somebody else so that the buyer feels comfortable. A good builder will not care or mind that you get a home inspection. If they do, then that's probably a red flag.
I agree. And then another myth that I commonly hear is I don't have good enough credit, or you can't buy a home with bad credit. But let's be honest, what is considered good credit? What's bad credit? And I think people kind of determine that by themselves, because someone with a 650 credit score may think they have bad credit, but that's still enough to qualify to purchase a home. If you have under a 620, I think the minimum is a 620 credit score right now, as far as I'm aware. If you have under 620 credit score, then you probably couldn't qualify. And it's not just based on one credit score. It's based on the credit score across all three bureaus and they take an average of them. So if you have 619 on one of them, but then the other ones are 630, then that's probably going to average out to closer to anywhere between. That's probably going to average out to be high enough that you could qualify to purchase a home.
Yeah. I mean, these are just all myths and, you know, our professional opinion. Hopefully you guys enjoyed that and found some value. That wraps up our time for today. Thank you for joining us again. We will put out a new episode every Wednesday. You can connect with us on social media, Facebook, TikTok, Instagram, and listen to us wherever you listen to podcasts. Thanks for listening.